This is chapter 40, and this is God's word to us this evening. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, they had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. When all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison, for I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given him a favourable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Amen. And this is God's word to us. Let's just pause for a moment and let's pray together. Father God, we just pray as we read familiar words once more this evening, Father God, for most of us know the story of Joseph and have heard it many times over. We pray this evening, though, that you would give us new eyes, fresh eyes, at which to look at this text. We pray that you would encourage us, and Father God, that you would build us up this evening as we look at this together. Help us to be encouraged through Joseph's story, and to remember through it all that you always remember us, and that you never forget us, and never forsake us. So Father God, open our ears and our eyes. Help us not to hear the stammering, stuttering words of your servant, but help us to hear you clearly speaking to each one of us. So speak to us now, to speaker and listener alike, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Richard Wurmbrand spent many, many years in communist prisons. He says that those in solitary confinement used to find ways to communicate with each other, and so they often did that by Morse code on the walls. The cells they were in were basically just 2 metres by 3 metres. There was barely any room. There was only them and them alone in their cells. And so they would tap Morse code to each other. He would preach the gospel that way. For some light relief, though, they would often tell each other jokes as well. And here is one he heard tap on the wall. 3 men sat in a prison and asked each other what they had done to be arrested. The first one said that he was arrested for sabotage because he had come to work 5 minutes late. The second one said that he had been arrested for spying on the company for he had arrived at his work 5 minutes early. The third one said and explained that he had been arrested for turning up to work on time. The company thought he must have had connections with the West from where he had got himself a good watch. Each circumstance different, each a reason for being in prison. Now we know, of course, joking apart, why Joseph was in prison. And this prison wasn't some small one with individual cells, it was a large communal area. Joseph, as you'll remember, had been a faithful witness, and this was due in part to his testimony. God was with him in Egypt. Yes, his brothers had evilly sold him into slavery so they could get rid of him and get him out of the way, but God was on his side. God had plans for his life. God meant it for good, as Joseph would later testify. In Egypt, Joseph remained faithful, despite temptation from Potiphar's wife, despite trial when Potiphar took his wife's side, despite, I suspect, not fully believing her, and despite tragedy, as again he finds himself in a prison, this time not a pit, but a dungeon. In prison, God was still with Joseph. At the end of the passage we're reading tonight, in verse 23, we read those words, "The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him." Joseph was forgotten in prison by man, but the great news is he was remembered by God. We finished last time up in verse 20 of the previous chapter with Joseph's master taking him and putting him in prison. And while Joseph was there, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favour in the eyes of the prison warden. And the warden paid no attention to anything he put under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. God remembered Joseph, and he was with him in prison. God had plans for Joseph he meant everything for good in the midst of that. This prison experience might be a hard one and a tough one, but still, Joseph faithfully followed God and kept going. This evening we want to look at Joseph's life and to remember that although he was forgotten by man, he was remembered by God. We too, many times in life, suffer pain and hardship. We too are forgotten by many of our friends, but we are never forgotten by God. He always remembers us. He has promised us in his word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we can learn from Joseph tonight, hopefully, how to keep serving God and living for him when circumstances around us would seek to tear us apart and to bring us down. The Lord is with us, as he was with Joseph. We may be forgotten by man, but we are remembered by God. And so as we begin chapter 40, we see prison duties for Joseph. Joseph, as we remember from the end of 39, was in prison, but God was with him. God had showed him kindness. God had allowed the warden to put him in charge of everything because God was blessing him. And you'll remember, of course, that this was mirroring what had happened at the start of chapter 39, as Potiphar himself, as he had taken Joseph to be his slave, saw how God was with him and how God had blessed him and put everything in Joseph's care. And so the Lord granted Joseph favour with the prison warden as well. Joseph's duties in prison were varied and all-encompassing. Just as Potiphar had placed everything he owned, with the exception of his wife, under Joseph's care, so the warden placed in prison everything under Joseph's care. Joseph was in charge of all the prisoners. He was in charge of all the work that they did. The prisoners were in prison. They had pens to do while they were in prison. Today you see prisoners who preparing for, you know, help us out here.
Training for
freedom. See, training for freedom is what they do today as they work in the prison to get themselves ready for coming out and back into the real world to do the jobs that they do. And so, in Joseph's day, those under Joseph's care, Joseph himself, were doing things. It was their penance, but it was also their training for freedom. And it was a price they had to pay, as well as being in prison, and as well as being separated from family and from friends. and from their freedom. Joseph had proven to be trustworthy, to be honest and to be faithful in all of his dealings in prison. He was liked and respected by the prison warden on account of his honesty, on account of his integrity and his hard work. Joseph was a worker, not a slacker. He may have been imprisoned wrongly, but he didn't put his head down. He kept on going. He kept persevering. If he was going to be in prison for some time, then he was going to work and he was going to keep himself active. And there's a lesson for us as well. A lesson to keep going and to keep faithfully serving God in those difficult times, for he is with us. One of his duties in prison was to look after the other prisoners and to attend to them. One day, these two new prisoners arrived for Joseph to attend to. These men were Pharaoh's butler and baker. You know me, I like to get a bit of alliteration in there, so we'll forget about the cupbearer and all of that. Butler and baker is what we'll call them for tonight. There had been problems in Pharaoh's palace, and Pharaoh was angry with these two men, so much so that he had them thrown into prison. We read in chapter 40, in verse 1, that they had offended their master. I don't know what you do to offend a master in that day and in that age, but I'm sure it must have been bad for them to want to throw them into prison. And as they go, they end up in the same place that Joseph was, the prison of the captain of the guard. The butler, and the cupbearer, as he's introduced to us in verse 2, was one of the most trusted men in the palace. His job was to take any food or drink brought before Pharaoh. If he tasted it, and all was well, Pharaoh could eat or drink safely. If someone wanted to poison Pharaoh, then the poor butler got it, and he died. Not the best job, not a job I think I would want in many ways, but the butler did, and he did it well. Pharaoh trusted him. He kept him close. Indeed, being one of the closest to Pharaoh, he would no doubt have many conversations with him, and no doubt he'd find out much about what was going on around the palace and in the kingdom. Later in Nehemiah, we read of Nehemiah's close relationship with the king, as Nehemiah too was a cupbearer. And the king noticed Nehemiah's sadness, you'll remember, when he was sad, and the king asked Nehemiah what was wrong. And that's the start of Nehemiah asking him to go and to rebuild the walls of the city. Butlers were highly trusted. And so it's incredible that he has angered his master such that he ends up in prison. The baker is another well-trusted man within the palace, a servant there. This baker, as we read in verse 2, is the chief baker. He is in charge of the kitchens and all the food prepared for and served to Pharaoh. Since he was the one who prepared the food Pharaoh ate, he was highly trusted. He too must have done something very wrong to end up in prison. Both of these men, the baker and the butler, are in trouble now, placed in prison under Joseph's care. And Joseph's prison duties extended to those two that he attended to, and he built up a relationship with them as they spent time together. Such was Joseph. So, his prison duties, we read in verse 4, that they had been in custody for some time when Joseph came to them one morning and noticed their sadness. And here we see prison dejection. It comes to all who are imprisoned, whether that be in prison cells or imprisoned in substance abuse or sexual addiction or impoverished in poverty. There's a real sense of dejection and despondency. Dejection and despondency. For these two men, their dejection in prison came about after a period of time. Their faces were sad and downcast. And Joseph, being the kind, caring man that he was, noticed what was going on. He noticed how they were feeling. Perhaps he noticed it, for he himself had been there before. We get a sense of Joseph's own pain and anguish later in verses 14 and 15, after he's interpreted the butler's dreams, when he says to him that he wants him to remember him before Pharaoh. For he says, "For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." Joseph had a real sense of despondency and dejection at times as well. He was falsely imprisoned, and this for the second time. He knew what it was to feel down and to feel out of it. And he noticed that there was something wrong with these two. I guess Joseph probably experienced this and many of the other prisoners as well. No one likes to be locked up and in prison. No one likes to stay there. Although I do sometimes wonder these days if prison is actually a place of safety and security for people. I often wonder how many we hear so often of the amount of re-offenders there are. And I wonder if re-offenders, those who offend again and again, simply do it because they know what prison is like. They know it's safe, they know it's secure, they know it's warm, they know they get their meals prepared for them. They know what it is, whereas outside in the real world, they don't know what it is to face the trials and pressures that we face day in and day out. Anyway, we're talking about Joseph and the butler and the baker. Joseph noticed they were downcast. They would be missing their family, missing their friends. They were missing their jobs, missing their leisure activities. They were simply missing their freedom. For these two though, the butler and the baker, there was more to their prison dejection. They were locked up. They were no longer trusted by Pharaoh. And that's a big thing, to have that trust and that respect taken away from them. And in prison they were now having these strange dreams. And these weren't any old dream. It wasn't something they could make out and they could understand. They were confused, and that simply made them more dejected. Joseph noticed their saddened faces, and he says to them in verse 7, "Why? Why are your faces so sad? Why?" He noticed, and so he wanted to ask. It is no accident that these two are in prison, the same prison that Joseph is in, for God is at work. And as Joseph noticed their sadness, as he asked them that question, the butler and the baker had learned to trust and to respect Joseph, and so they shared their woes with him. And now we see prison dreams. We both had dreams which we can't understand. No one can interpret them for us, they say. Joseph, though, knows what's going on. He knows who can help them. He knows the interpretation of dreams belongs to God and to God alone. And Joseph, again here in prison, shows his reliance on God and his faith in God despite his circumstances. He knows who can help these two men, and it's God. So he asks them for their dreams so that he can interpret them with God's help. He trusts God enough to know that God can reveal the meanings to him. He knows about dreams, remember, of course, because that's where all Joseph's woes began, those times before. As he had those dreams, as he shared them in his own misunderstanding and lack of knowledge about what they were, as he said to his brothers, "Here's what's going on," and his brother said, "Come on, Joseph, we're not going to bow down to you." And that's where his problems had started too. And there's a great lesson for us. Joseph had a dream that he would rule one day, and he knows his dream has come from God. It's not yet happened yet. In fact, in all appearances, it would appear that Joseph's dreams have been shattered. What does Joseph do? Does he get angry with God and shut himself away? Does he stop believing in God and worshipping him? Does he give up on God? No. Joseph keeps serving him faithfully. He keeps seeking ways to glorify him. And that's why when these two come with their dreams, Joseph says, "God can interpret your dreams. God." He still knows and trusts God, even although his own dreams have been put on hold. And we would do well to do likewise in life. There will be times when our dreams are not working out the way that we thought they would. There will be times when we find ourselves having prison experiences just like Joseph. There will be times when we will face trial and temptation and feel all alone on the sidelines. Our duty in all and the prisons of life is to actively seek ways to keep glorifying God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 tells us, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Our circumstances might be bad, but our God is good. We need to learn how to glorify Him when the sun is shining and when the rain is falling. There's a wonderful new song that we haven't learned yet. Maybe we will one day. It's called "Blessed Be Your Name," and it talks about the fact that God is with us when the sun is shining and on the hard and difficult days. We need to look for ways to point others to God, even although our own hearts are breaking. If He is the God of the mountaintop experience, then he is also the God of the deep valleys as well. And so the butler goes first in sharing his dreams with Joseph, and he tells Joseph all about it. He speaks of the vine and the branches, of the buds and the blossoming, and the great clusters of ripened grapes. He tells Joseph that in his dream he takes the grapes and he squeezes them, the juice out of them, into Pharaoh's cup, and then he hands the cup, and he tastes the cup and hands it over to Pharaoh. Joseph at that point has given him an interpretation from the Lord. He was able to work out what was going on. He was able to tell the butler all about it. And so he says to him, in 3 days you will be restored before Pharaoh. The butler received a great interpretation of his dream. It must have given him hope. He may well have wondered how Joseph knew this. He may even have thought, is this man making it up? Do I believe it? Do I not? Either way, in prison, in a dark and gloomy day, when somebody gives you a ray of hope, you grab hold of it with both hands, and it's something to see you through the next hours and days. As Joseph finished sharing this with the butler, he asks him, to remember this moment and this interpretation, so that when he is freed, that when he is before Pharaoh, he remembers Joseph and he mentions Joseph's name to Pharaoh. Joseph wants to get out. Joseph maybe appears a little bit desperate here, but wouldn't you and I in the same place and the same experience? Maybe a little bit of bitterness has creeped in as well. He's been carried away from his homeland. He's found himself falsely imprisoned. Isn't he just reaching out for a little bit of hope as well in the midst of all this? Having heard this favourable and good report, the baker decides it's his time to try his luck as well. You can almost hear the excitement and the anticipation in his voice as he says to Joseph, I too have a dream. Almost takes me back to the football years ago, doesn't it? I have a dream that Scotland will win the World Cup. Oh, bad dream. Anyway, the baker is excited. He says, I too have a dream. And he launches straight into it. He shares with Joseph all that's going on. He had 3 baskets of bread. Top basket is filled with all these goodies for Pharaoh, but the birds are coming along as they do to our bird tables, and they're pecking everything away. Joseph gets an interpretation here in prison as well, and it's not good this time. He must have been distraught when he heard it. And then again, maybe he thought, the baker here, maybe he thought Joseph was having him on. Only time would tell. Maybe he thought Joseph was having a bit of fun at his expense. Joseph told him that in 3 days he would appear before Pharaoh again, and Pharaoh would have him hung on a tree, and the birds would come and eat away at his flesh. That's not a nice thought, is it? Joseph heard the dreams, and God allowed him to interpret them and to share that interpretation with the butler and the baker. Having shared the answer for the dreams, everyone waited patiently. What's going to happen? They no doubt carried on with their work. And Joseph again is that great example to us of carrying on despite circumstances around him. However, prison disappointment was going to get Joseph next. Oh, it began so well. 3 days later it was Pharaoh's birthday. As he celebrated, he decided he was freeing the butler and the baker, and he had them brought before him at a great feast he was having with these officials. He lifted up their heads as the dreams had suggested, and the butler. The butler was restored to his position. He was delighted. He could once more take Pharaoh's cup and hand it to him. His dream had come true. Joseph's interpretation was spot on. God is good. Unfortunately, Joseph's interpretation of the baker's dream was spot on as well, as he was taken from Pharaoh's presence and hand. One was happy. The other, he was dead. The word must have got back into Joseph. He must have heard all that was going on. He must have heard about the events even in his prison cell. And Joseph being Joseph would have praised God for of that I have no doubt, praised God for answered prayer. He saw the answers he had been given work out. He must have hoped at that point that he too would be freed soon enough. He must have hoped with all of his heart. But here's the prison disappointment for him. He wasn't. We read in verse 23, as we read at the start, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. The butler must have been so excited about getting his old job back and gaining his freedom, but he forgot all about the one who had given him that interpretation in the first place and given them hope. Would he give Joseph hope now? It appears that that hope for Joseph has once more been dashed. He forgot all about Joseph and the excitement of being back out and back in Pharaoh's presence, and that disappointment for Joseph must have been crushing. That disappointment lasted as well for a long time, as we'll find out next time. Because in chapter 41 and verse 1, when 2 full years had passed, it would be another 2 years that Joseph spent without the butler and the baker in prison. Another 2 years before the butler would remember that Joseph had interpreted his dreams. Another 2 years that Joseph would spend in prison in Egypt, separated from family, from friends, and from his freedom. And there's a valuable lesson for us too. We should not place our confidence in fellow human beings, because guess what? With the best intention in the world, they will fail us. They will let us down. Even with their best intentions, they will forget about us and neglect us. But God, God never will. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And Joseph rested in that promise. It must have been difficult for Joseph. Here he was, stuck in prison, doing his duties faithfully, despite the circumstances, when he sees the dejection of these two new prisoners. They share their dreams with him, and he remembers God and points them to him. As he says, God interprets dreams. And as he is given the interpretations of those dreams, Joseph has renewed hope for his own freedom. He sees his chance. He puts his confidence in the butler to get him released as well. But here's a disappointment, as the butler forgets all about him for a time. Joseph, though, does not give up in prison. He may be forgotten by man, but he is remembered by God. God had granted him favour in prison. He had given him interpretations for the dreams, and he was still with him. He would be released, but just not in his own time. He would be freed when God's plan was working its way out. This must have been so, so hard for Joseph. He has been faithful and true to God, but nothing seems to be happening. Unknown to Joseph, the wheels are moving very, very, very slowly. God is getting everything in place for Joseph to be freed at just the right moment in history for God's plans to be fulfilled. And you know, the same is true in our lives as well. Some of us are looking at disappointments and discouragements, and you don't know how to handle them. The best thing we can do is to bring them to the Lord, to learn to leave them in His capable hand, and to ask Him for the joy and the grace you need to survive and thrive and the prison experiences of life. There is help for you in the Lord. You might feel forgotten, but I hope you know that you will never be forsaken by Him. You may be forgotten by man, but you are remembered by God. And friends, as we finish tonight, that is all we can ever hope to do and to hold on to. Joseph experienced all of these dark days. He must have thought his time had come. But still, for another 2 years, he was left in that prison. He was forgotten by man, but he was remembered by God. And we always, no matter how bad we think it is, if we are his children, if we put our trust and our faith in him, then he always, always remembers us. And he is always with us. And one day, he will work all of those plans out in our lives as well. He is our vision and our hope. Let's pray together, will we? Father God, we thank you for these moments tonight. We thank you for being able to read the stories of Joseph once more. And Father God, we rejoiced with the butler as he was freed. We were saddened with the baker as he ended up hung in a tree. And Lord, we were disappointed with Joseph as he spends more time in prison. But Father God, we thank you for the reminder that although forgotten by man, Joseph was not forgotten by you. You remembered him. And so too with us. We might feel, find ourselves in a place where we feel separated and forgotten by everyone around us. But Father God, help us to hang on to the hope we have in Jesus. Help us to hang on to that hope that you never forget us, and you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are always there by our side. And so Father God, we pray that you be with us this week, and whatever we experience and whatever we do, help us to know that you are there by our side. And even when things are difficult and tough, you are still there, leading and guiding and bringing about your plans and your purposes. Even when we find it hard to see and to notice and to realise, help us, Father God, to hang on to the hope that you are there with us all those times. So Lord, help us to take this word away tonight and just to allow it to filter through our minds. Help us to read it through again for ourselves and just to see exactly what it is you are saying to us. Help us to take those moments later on, not just in these moments here when we tend to rush away out into the night and to head for home, but Lord, help us to take moments later on just to ponder your word more fully, that we might see truly what you are saying to us individually and collectively. Father God, hear our prayers, and would you be our vision in these coming days, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.